read the Word of God, and another thing to understand the Word of God. The most important thing is to understand what you are reading. Otherwise, you can read the whole Bible. How many of you have heard some people say, I have read the whole Bible, but they are not living the life, because they haven't understood nothing. So it is more really important to understand. Like if you are in a classroom, if you are studying for an exam, all the students are going to study, right? The pupils, the students are going to study for the exam. But the ones who are going to pass are the ones who understand, the ones who understood. It's the same with now, with the scriptures. Today, we are going to study something in a nutshell. What I'm going to say is about the calling. The calling. We are all called here. Then, we are going to see believing. Okay, or believe. Put in brackets, faith. Then, obedience. And that's what we are going to see in scripture today. And these three goes together. The call of God. You heard the gospel. Now, after hearing the gospel, you are given a chance to believe or disbelieve. Then after believing, then what do? You obey. That's what we are going to see. Now, in the book of Romans, Apostle Paul, let's read from verse 5 to 7. Alright? Here it says, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you are also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the scripture that I'm going to dwell here is in verse 5. Because there's good stuff here that we can get hold of. A lot of treasure here we can dig in and really encouraging words. So it says here, verse 5, through him and for his name's sake we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from the faith. Through him, through who? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And for his name's sake. Okay, you see the name of God is absolutely holy and the name of God is powerful. You know that? That every tongue is going to confess and every knee is going to bow down to the name of who? Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus, you can cast demons out in the name of what? Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you can even perform miraculous signs. You can do wonders in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. Alright? So, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles. So, Apostle Paul is saying, he received apostleship from where? From whom? From God, right? Who gave him to be an apostle? Is it that Apostle Paul had to work his way out for him to become an apostle? Did he go to school to learn how to become an apostle? No. Did you study, go to the library? I want to become an apostle. Yeah? Today, you want to become a doctor? What do? Go to school. I want to become a doctor, engineer. You go to school. You study. You become a doctor or an engineer. But here in Christian life, it's nothing like that. Now, if you want to become a pastor, if you want to become a Sunday school teacher, if you want to become An evangelist, what do you do? Is it that you got to do something? No, the Bible says no. It has to be called by God. It's a gift from God. You understand? Now I'm going to give you a scripture. Apostles or evangelists or teachers or Sunday school teachers or any other ministry, what you're doing, it's a gift from God. God is the one who gives you that gift. Once God gives you the gift, then that's the time you go after the gift. That's the time you study. Alright? Now, let me give you a scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. It says here, it was He who gave some to be apostles. You see that? Here He is the Lord Jesus, okay? It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people in works of service. So who gave the gift?
Jesus.
Yeah, He gave the gifts. We didn't have the nothing at all. We cannot go after the gift. He's the one who gives the gift. So don't try to say, oh, I want to be an evangelist. You cannot do that. I want to be a teacher. God is the one who gives the gift. So, God gave the gift to Apostle Paul to be what? An apostle. For why? Why did he give the gift? What? Now, what was the calling of Apostle Paul? Why God gave him the gift to become an apostle? It says there in the scripture. You read it. To call people from all. From among all the Gentiles, right? So, he gave the gift to Apostle Paul. Why? To be an apostle? Go and call people. What do you mean calling here? Calling is the gospel, right? Preaching the good news. So, all among all the Gentiles, right? That is the calling of Apostle Paul. You see this in the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Okay. Starting from... let's see. Here, verse 14. Here, you see the Apostle Paul, how he was persecuting the church, and God, the Lord appeared to him, and he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then verse 15 says, Then I asked, Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have prepared to you to appoint you, there, appoint you as a servant, as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue from your own people and from the Gentiles I am sending you. Now this is the ministry. See verse 18. The calling is here. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins placed among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That is the calling. And that's what we see exactly here in Romans. Apostle Paul was called by the Lord. For what? So the Gentiles will come to know him. Now once the calling comes, then what? Here comes the calling. The calling is for the Gentiles and for the Jews or whoever. Then when the Gentiles would come for the calling, then it says what? To the obedience, the calling, the purpose of the calling is what? That you would be obedient, right? Obedience that comes from faith. So what is the purpose of the gospel? What is the purpose of the calling? Why did you become a Christian? Why did you accept Jesus Christ?
Because I was called.
You were called? Now once you are called, after calling, what comes? Obedience. Now obedience, that comes from faith. Okay, that's a good question here. How does obedience come? From faith. Let me ask you a question. Does obedience produce faith? Or does faith produce obedience? Okay, good. Faith produces obedience. What is faith?
Belief.
Faith is, really speaking, the word faith here in Greek is pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. Okay. That's the Greek word. P-I-S-T-I-S. It literally means to believe. To rely upon Christ. To rely upon Christ. To believe in Christ. Now, faith is truly believing in Him. Obedience is the result of that faith. You understand? Faith is truly believing in Jesus Christ, and the obedience is the result of that faith. Do you understand what I'm talking here? Okay. Now, if there is no obedience, then you didn't believe. If you truly believe, then you will have obedience. And if you have no obedience at all, then your belief, you really didn't believe. Now let me give you some examples here. To me, I see there are three kinds of faith. Three kinds of faith. One is the faith of man. The faith of man. Trust in yourself. Have you heard that? Trust in yourself. Okay, the second one is the demonic faith. Demonic faith. And the third one is godly faith. Faith in God. Okay. Now, of course, today we are living in a generation that talks about a man's faith, right? Everything says you got to trust in yourself.
You can do it.
You can do it, everything by yourself. You are the ultimate, you know, strength. And that is trusting in man. And that's a sin. You don't trust in man. The second one is the demonic faith, because even demons believe in God. Do you know that when Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say, who do you say the Son of Man is? What does people think say about me? Who do you say who I am?" Okay, the people, what do they say about me as my identity? And the disciples say, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, or some say you're one of the prophets. So the people didn't give the right answer, didn't they? No. They never gave the right answer who Jesus Christ was. Then Peter eventually said, when Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, what do you think? What do you say who I am?" And then Peter said, "You are the Son of the Most Living God." So Peter gave the right answer because Peter was anointed by the Holy Spirit there. But people didn't give the right answer. But if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, I'm going to show you something very startling here. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, starting from verse 28, when he arrived, Matthew 8:28, When he arrived the other side of the region of Gethsemane, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? The demons understood who Jesus was, but the people thought he was John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah. But the people are confessing that he is what? The Son of God. And Peter later on said, you are the Son of God. What do you see here? You see here that the demons believe in Jesus. Now you might say, well, what's the difference? Why is that demons are not saved? They believe in God. They even confess that Jesus is the Son of God, but they are not saved. The reason is, this is called the demonic faith. There's no obedience. They just believe, but no obedience. No obedience. You see that? That's why James said, even James said, even demons believe that there is one God and they shudder. That's why faith and obedience, they go hand in hand together. Believing and obedience go hand in hand together. If you believe, you will obey. You cannot say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to follow him. I don't want to believe in him. So faith here or believe, when you say you believe in Jesus, how many of you heard some people say, I believe in Jesus, right? But their lifestyle is totally a mess. The word believe there is not just believing in your mouth or in your mind. It means, in Greek, it means total surrender. You understand? Surrendering to him. Total trust in him. It's like when you go to the hospital, let's say you have cancer, you have a lump somewhere in your body, alright? And the doctor is going to tell you, well, I got to cut you and take that thing out from your body. Otherwise, you are going to die. Now you are going to tell doctor, okay doctor, I trust in you. I surrender my body to you. Now that is believing in the doctor for him to take that out. It's the same thing in believing in Jesus. Total surrender. Now, while we are studying this, the word believing and obedience, I'm going to ask you a question. At what point did man sin? In the book of Genesis, can you remember? Adam and Eve, God told not to eat from the fruit of the good and evil. Can you remember that? Mm-hmm. And what did they do? They went and ate. I want to ask you, at what point did they really sin? Did they sin when they ate the fruit? Or did they sin just before they ate the fruit? Who believes that they sinned when they ate the fruit, and who believes they sinned just before they ate the fruit?
Before.
Just before. Why you say that?
Because they believed the word of the serpent.
Exactly. When the woman saw that the fruit was nice and pleasing to the eye, all right? At that point, she disbelieved God. When she saw that it was, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for the food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, and at that time, sin already is implanted in her. So, how did sin come? Because she didn't believe God. She believed Satan. You see that? Yeah. instead of believing God, she didn't believe God. But God said, surely you're going to die as soon as you eat that. But she ate it. Even before she ate it, she already, the sin came into her because she knew, she thought, she already made up her mind, I'm going to eat this. See that? So, obedience, disobedience is the result of the sin, right? Result of the sins is disobedience. Now, let me ask you another question. At what point, can you remember David one day? Everybody was busy in the battle. King David was alone by himself in the palace. Then he went out and he saw this beautiful woman, Bathsheba, taking a bath. And he committed adultery, right? Now let me ask you, at what point did David commit adultery? When he took Bathsheba to bed, or when he looked at her lustfully? Yeah. When he looked at her lustfully, already it was implanted in her. All right. The next step is what? The first step is the mind, that you look and you dwell on it. And the next step is what? The action. So what we see here, and another one. Can you remember Jesus said in Matthew 6:27? Even if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, what? You have already committed adultery. So the sin comes where? In the mind, by disbelieving. It's disbelieving in God is sin. If you are sinning, that if God says no, if God says no, you don't do this, and you are going, and you say I believe in God, and you still go ahead and do it, that means you don't believe God. If I tell you, okay, if you, hey, you want to go to San Diego, there are two roads to go. This road will take you, but there is a danger there, and there's an earthquake there, and you might fall there, and there's big danger, there's a fire, and you might even get into an accident. But that, just don't take this road, take the other road. But you say, no, I want to take that road. That means you didn't believe me. You didn't trust in my words. See, this is what it's so important. We believe bring obedience. True belief bring obedience. True belief will bring obedience. Meaning totally trusting in God's word. No matter who says what, no matter newspaper or this generation or the television or this 20th century philosophy says this, but we need to obey the word of God. Don't go according to your feelings. Need to obey the word of God. Don't go according to your emotions. But I feel. Go according to the word of God. Now, go back to Romans. Go back to Romans and says here, through him and for his namesake we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith, right? So the obedience comes from believing, right? Right? That's what we have been studying, by faith. Obedience comes from believing. Now, how does this belief come? Or how does this faith come? What produces faith? Obedience comes by faith. How do you get this faith? Romans chapter 10 verse 15 gives the answer. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Okay, let's see. Let's read from verse 14. We'll get a good answer. Romans 10:14. How then... No, let's read from verse 13, okay? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. How then can they call on the one who have not believed in? How can they call in the one who have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can they preach unless somebody is sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, the Lord has believed our message. Okay, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from what? Hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of what? Christ. So, how do you get faith? How do you get belief? By hearing the word of God. God told Adam, gave a commandment, the first commandment. What? Do not eat from the tree of good and evil. That's a commandment. That's how faith came. Now, this is where faith comes from what? Hearing the word of God. Then after that, what happens? It's your choice. Either you are going to obey, believe or not. Hear the word of God, and that is the gospel. That is the word of God. You hear it, and that is faith comes from the word of God. Now, John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, 63. Jesus said, John 6, 63 and 64, Jesus said, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Okay? Now, the words that Jesus spoke can bring life. Right? Then it says, verse 64, yet there are some of you who do not believe, he said. See? That means they didn't want to believe. Jesus knew that. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But some people, they hear. It comes from here, this ear. As soon as they leave, it goes out of the other ear. And they forget everything. And they're doing their own thing. Oh. Until somebody comes and bang! Wake them up. What happened? Oh, where am I? See, I need that. That's why belief and obedience go together. You cannot separate them. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. 32 verse 45. 46. 32:46. It says here, he said to them, this is Moses talking to the Israelites. Deuteronomy 32:46. Moses is talking to the Israelites and he's saying, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to do what? Obey. The words I have spoken to you are to obey. See that? So, obey carefully all the words of the law. And they are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live. in the land you are going to possess. So the words that God gave you are given for you not to be excited in the church, not to get a big knowledge. Hey, we saw that King Herod, right? He loved to hear the word of God. He got really excited hearing the word of God. In the book of Mark, we saw that King Herod, he liked to hear the word of God, but he never was a Christian. Never was a Christian. So, there is a calling, there is a belief, then after that comes what? Obedience. Back to Romans. Let's go to verse 6. And you are also among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So, if you are called, and if you believe in Him, and if you are in obedience, then you are called by God. You are a child of God. You receive the call, and you believe it, you obey, then you belong to Jesus. But you might say, well, there are people who say, everyone who professes in his mouth that he's a Christian. Can you remember sometimes you go, anybody who wants to accept Jesus, raise your hand. I raise my hand, and I'm a Christian. I said a prayer confessing that Jesus is Lord, now I'm a Christian. It's like, I said a prayer confessing that Jesus is Lord, now I'm a Christian. It's like, you are being baptized, now you're a Christian. Your grandfather was a Christian, now you're a Christian. Raising your hand, it doesn't mean you're a Christian. What means is a Christian is not only coming forward, but following him. That's what it means. That's why in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I can remember two Mormon missionaries came to your house when I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, two Mormon missionaries came, and I can remember they told me, you know, we are all Christians. I said, no, we are not. I said, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become a children of God. So, the word of God says, what? Yet to all who received him. Have you received him into his heart? Have you believed him in your heart? If you receive and if you believe, then you are a child of God. Because you are going to obey what he says. 1 John. This is one of my favorite scriptures. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 4. 1 John chapter 2 verse 4. This is a very heavy scripture. 1 John chapter 2 verse 4. The Holy Spirit put it here for a purpose. And it says here, the man who says, I know him. Meaning, I know Jesus, right? But does not do what he commands is what? A liar. And the truth is in him, right? No, wrong. The truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. You want to know how you, if you are a true Christian, how you are in Jesus Christ? John is saying, you want to know? This is how we know him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Hey! This is serious stuff, isn't it? We cannot live just like the pagans. Of course, BC days, it was a different story. Now you're a Christian, you should walk like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, behave like a Christian, because you're the light of the world. verse 7, Romans 1:7. To all in Rome, when he says here, to all in Rome, he's talking to all the Christians here, who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So to all the Christians who are loved by God and called to be saints. Now this is one of the scriptures I see. There are some religious people who for this, a saint for them is an image. Right? It's an image of a person who lived a good life before. Now they venerate them as a saint. We'll make him a saint now. Now, when they make him a saint, they make an image of him, so they can pray to this person, so this person will answer their prayers. There's nothing like that in the Bible. The Bible says very clearly that we are saints here, to all in Rome who are called by God to be saints. Now, you are a saint. The word saint means what? In Greek, it means hagios. H-I-H. Let me write it down. The word saints means H-A-G-I-O-S. Hagios. Hagios means holy. Simple. Holy. Alright? Set apart. Separated. Devotion to God. That's what it means. You have been set apart. You have been consecrated. You now have a love relationship to God. You are devoted to God. If you are a believer, you are a saint, right? You can call me Saint Nick. I'm a saint. I'm a believer. Or whatever. So, a saint is not an image, because we need to be holy. Because Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14 says, Hebrews 12, 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Then it says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You see that? Without holiness, no one is going to see God. So if you are not separated to be with God, if you are not holy, if you are not consecrated, if you are not devoted to God, if you don't have that love relationship to God, then you will not see God. So you need to be holy. You need to be consecrated. Then verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Let's read verse 15. Then it says here, see to that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance. Okay? That means selfishness. That means no one will walk according to their flesh. Then you misuse the grace of God. Now what is the grace of God? It says here grace and Romans 1 says, grace and 1:7, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What is grace? Have you heard the word grace so many times? What is grace? What do you mean by grace? Yes, grace is, let me write it for you. It means undeserved favor from God. You don't deserve anything because we are sinners. I'm going to write this next time. I'm going to ask you. The word grace means undeserved. Undeserved favor of God to the believers. Okay? Because we don't deserve His grace. Do we deserve His grace? No, we don't, because we are sinners. We were rebellious to Him. But He had a favor for us. That means we don't, it's an unmerited favor. That means we don't deserve it. But He poured His favor upon us. That is what is called grace, meaning undeserved favor of God. Okay? Grace and peace goes together. Have you seen all the time in Apostle Paul, grace and peace? When you have grace, what do you have? That means you are totally rebellious with God, you are enemy with Him before, you do just the opposite things, and you have this battle going on, you know, you are always opposite to His word, right? And you are totally rebellious, you don't want to hear, you don't want to go to church, you don't want to study, and you are so enemy. Now, God poured His undeserved favor upon you, His grace. Now suddenly you say, oh, thank you, God. Now I have peace. Wow. That's what happens after grace, because He showed pardon our sins. He gave mercy instead of judgment. He showed His grace. He showed His undeserved favor for us. Meaning we don't deserve it. Anyway, He gave it to us. Now we have what? Peace. It's a peace of mind now. You can go through heavy trials on this earth. You can go through a storm in this life as a Christian, tribulation, but still you have peace of mind because you know you are bound to heaven. You know all these are just minor, temporary. Now what is the application here? Application. And this is very important, the application. We all have received the calling, don't we? We all have received the calling. The question is, do we believe? Do we believe? I told you, believing is really comes in the mind. It's your mind is like a computer. Let me put it this way. Your mind is like a computer. How have you programmed your computer? Okay? Your mind is like a computer. If you program junk into your mind, okay, in junk, out of it will come junk. Simple as that.